101.4 on FM Sport.
You're listening to the 90-minute football show here with Peter Davis. We've got a number of fans in this evening. It's the fan show presented by fans. Did Bridge go a little too far yesterday at Chelsea? We'll be discussing that in a moment. Manchester United, they win the Carling Cup. They beat Aston Villa by 2-1. Also focusing on the other clubs in West London. Queen's Park Rangers, who lost at Middlesbrough. Brentford, it wasn't even raining, but the game was called off. And Fulham, who had a spend quite a long time talking about a 0-0. Anyway, first of all, let's talk about the cup game today. Aston Villa, Manchester United. Ian, we watched the game and Rooney got the winner again.
Yeah, United, for all of Villa's endeavour and industry, it always, for me, looked like a United win, particularly after Rooney came on, absolutely on fire at the moment, and also Valencia. Obviously, he's come in as much, sort of much touted as the replacement for Ronaldo, which was kind of seen in a kind of a disparaging way, because I don't think anybody believed that Valencia was anything like in the same sort of class as Ronaldo. But last few games, he's come on leaps and bounds. He's looking sort of United quality, looking as if he's been there all his life.
For me, it was a shame that Villa didn't get the late equaliser, because Man United obviously played in the week, and I think it might have caught up in them. A couple of players on their feet at the end. Berbatov looked absolutely shattered come the end.
But then Berbatov always looks shattered, doesn't he? It's like Chris Waddle in the 80s. The match can be 5 minutes old and he'd be fresh as a daisy, but he still looks absolutely knackered.
Tom, Owen on the score sheet for United.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, he's probably given his chance. I mean, he's not played much this season for United. Capello has said he does need to play more games, so Capello was there today watching. Again, I mean, he's probably still, for me, not good enough to get into the England squad, simply because he's not playing enough games and because there are too many players, you know, around him at the moment that are doing better.
We'll talk about the England squad later on, but at the end of the day, he's a goal scorer, you know, and Heskey, who plays for Villa, has been preferred in many cases. I mean, surely there's an argument to take Owen.
Well, I mean, if it was me, I'd have been putting Bobby Zamora in the England squad myself. He's still a goal threat. I think, for me, he probably would do the job better.
I'd go along with Tom there as well. I think Heskey, great as that goal every other game. Heskey, 1 in 5, 1 in 6, not good enough.
Ian, is this the first of the treble for Manchester United?
I don't know.
Answer it like a neutral. Don't answer it like a Chelsea fan, you know, because Chelsea seem to be away a little bit.
We hit the self-destruct yesterday, didn't we? I mean, individual errors to start with. John Terry looks as if he's feeling the pressure at the moment. I mean,
is he not feeling more than the pressure?
Well, the story won't go away. It's been front page for week after week, and the only time he's been knocked off, he's been replaced by Ashley Cole, his teammate. Mm. Every time he leaves the ground, there's going to be a whole group of paparazzi with cameras. They're going to be outside his house. Every time he walks on the pitch, he knows that the cameras are going to be on him. He's human, and I think he's feeling the pressure.
It's not only John Terry, though. I mean, I'm 17 stone, and I reckon I could have saved maybe two of those goals yesterday.
Yeah, Hilario, I mean, it's a tabloid headline writer's dream, isn't it? That, to be fair to the guy, he's played a lot of football for us over the years, what with Cech's injuries and Cudicini's as well. That's the first time that he's cost us. Although there has always been, there's just something about him that you think, you don't really look like a goalkeeper. The ball somehow manages to hit him plenty, but there's just something about him which suggests to me that perhaps in the long term he's not going to be good enough.
I tell you what, we've already got an email, and we would say actually that if you want to email us at 90minuteFootballShow@onfmradio.co.uk. Hopefully we'll get a load of emails. We're going to talk about Arsenal in a minute as well, and Queen's Park Rangers a bit later on. But the first question is going to be aimed at you, Ian. And evening all, it says, So it's a few questions, actually.
Okay.
Are Chelsea the most hated team in England with players like John, I'm a Chav, Terry, Cashley, I'm a Fool, Cool, Cole, and Didier? I'll just get shot by a sniper, Drogba.
I would say, first of all, yes. I think we are probably the most hated team in the country. Man City have that to look forward to, I think. And I tell you what, just as an aside, I feel a little bit sorry for Man City's fans, because go back a few seasons, they're in the third tier of English football, and they were still getting 30,000 plus. Now, okay, they've got the new stadium, now they're getting 40,000 plus, but that means three quarters of those fans were there when they were in League One. And yet, every fan that turns up at that ground or who goes along to see Man City play at their own ground is going to be singing at those Man City fans, where were you when you were shocking? Is going to be the gist of it, certainly,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't think that's shocking.
And that's going to be the way. But just to return to...
Sorry to put you under a lot of pressure tonight, Ian, but there's another question.
Go on.
Right, OK, this is from... I'll get his name in a second, but it says, do you think that Capello will walk away after the World Cup, knowing that managing England is like a soap opera?
I think it depends how well he does in the World Cup, doesn't it? If he does...
But what I'm saying, I think what the email is trying to say is, look, he's trying to do a job managing England, and there doesn't go a week without a story about John Terry, Ashley Cole.
But then is it any different in Italy? I mean, classically, Italy has always been... Italian football particularly has always been described as the goldfish bowl. Is the press any more intrusive or powerful in England than it is in Italy? Just to go back to that, to the previous question about specifically John Terry, Cole and Didier Drogba. John Terry, first of all, I mean, what I'd say is I think these players are disliked first and foremost because they're Chelsea players. And as I say, I do think because of the fact that we've kind of upset people's ideas of who should win things.
I think maybe because came along Chelsea haven't got the history that Liverpool, the Manchester United's, and to a degree the Arsenal's have.
Well, that's true to an extent. To be fair, we had a reasonable history. You know, we'd won a championship in the 50s. We'd won an FA Cup in the 70s, along with a Cup Winners' Cup. Now that might not be much compared with the likes of Liverpool and Manchester United, but. If that's the case, so are we going to hate Huddersfield or Swindon or Leighton Orient if they start to do well? You know, when if QPR get up to the Premier League and start to do well, are we going to be complaining that QPR don't have history? You know, it's about how you're playing at the moment and the players you've got at the moment. And to return again to Cole, Drogba and Terry, Cole I can see. Cole. He's easy to hate. He's a bit of a pillock. Terry, I just think that's a Chelsea thing.
The
Manchester United fans and football fans in general never hated Eric Cantona.
Okay, while we're on the subject of Chelsea, there's another email from Dale Shepherd. How many more years do you think that... this team is in its 30s, the majority of players. How long is it before this team has to be changed?
I was thinking that was probably going to happen last month, particularly with the transfer embargo as was, and I think Chelsea must have been very, very confident that was going to be overturned, not to be buying players during January, because if we were going the next two seasons with this group of players, as you say, they are in their 30s. There's a question mark, I think.
Because the best young player that you've got, it's fair to say, is Sturridge, and he's not pulling up trees.
No, he's not. There's obviously Gael Kakuta as well, who got us into trouble in the first place. I wonder how much Abramovich is going to be prepared to spend over the next couple of years, because to replace the like of Ballack and Drogba, and these kind of players with players of similar stature is going to take a few quid. Okay. I don't know if he's going to spend.
We're going to come back to Chelsea soon, and as I say, fans, email us, 90minutefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. One man that is happy is Alex. You think? Tinge with a bit of sadness, obviously, with Arsenal. Yeah. But let's talk about the victory first of all. I mean, it's a tough place to go, Stoke. Stoke unbeaten in 11 games in 2010, and you've done a job.
We did, yeah. It was a massive victory, as you say. What with Chelsea losing earlier in the day, we knew this was our chance to climb back some points on Chelsea. And as sad as it was, the injury on Ramsey, I think it mentally boosted our players.
But you're 3 points behind Chelsea now. Chelsea and Manchester United have got to play each other. Arsenal, they keep saying that it's an easier run-in than all the others.
And as you say, Chelsea and United have still got to play each other.
But shocking after-match comments about the Ramsey injury. You could see opinion, pre-match touchline ban and a fine. It was a tragic accident where a defender was generally trying to win the ball. He tend to think everyone is targeting Arsenal, but it seems he will use anything as an excuse to have a good whinge. We're going to... there's a guy next to me who's ripping to go as well in Brendan, but Alex, first of all.
I think a ban would be a bit harsh, because everyone's entitled to an opinion. Wenger was a bit wrong in saying that he should be banned for however long. As for the tackle itself, I don't believe for a second he's gone out to hurt him. It was just a clumsy tackle, and it's just unfortunate the way he's caught him and broke his ankle.
Brendan, what's your opinion of this?
Well, I'm going to go against that. I agree. I don't think Shawcross meant to do it, but to me, that's no excuse. I was really angry. I still am angry about the incident. I actually kind of agreed with Wenger. There's been three incidents in 5 years, which the Diaby one was kind of brushed under the carpet because it wasn't as in the public eye because the game wasn't live on telly at the time. But people forget about that. Teams who can't play Arsenal at football, teams like Stoke... apologies to those Stoke fans out there, but it's my opinion, it's a fact, to be fair. Teams who can't play football play teams like Arsenal with the kick them off the park attitude, the be aggressive with them. Sam Allardyce always used to do it down at Bolton, he still does it down at Blackburn. Week after week, Arsenal are accused of diving. Players in every league in the country dive, and I'm completely against it, but we're kicked off the park every single week, and I agree with Wenger, it isn't a coincidence, and the punishment has to fit the crime. The punishment has to fit the crime. Aaron Ramsey, touch wood, plays football again, but there's a chance he may never play football again, and Ryan Shawcross gets a three-match ban for that. I completely disagree with that. And I made this point off-air, I'm quite passionate about this, but I made this point off-air that if you were driving along the road and you knocked someone down in your car and killed them, would you get a 3-point fine on your licence? The punishment would be a lot more than that. It would be taken a lot more seriously. And intent or not, and I don't think Shawcross intended to do it, but Stoke and their entire team intended to kick us up in the air yesterday, and they've done it for 90 minutes of the game. Before the incident, and Aaron Ramsey had a stonewall penalty turned down for him where he was taken down in the area. That wasn't spoken about. It happens week after week after week. People say I'm just a moaning, nagging Arsenal fan, but watch the games. It's a fact.
The thing is, Brendan, surely this is a man's game, and we can't outlaw the tackle, can we? Certain tackles are going to be mistimed. I think
Ashley Cole wouldn't want to get rid of the tackle, would he?
Absolutely not. Sometimes tackles are mistimed. On this occasion, that's happened. I mean, I don't think we can vilify Shawcross too much. Am I right in saying he's never been sent off before?
Absolutely right.
Not. I mean, anyone who saw the pictures yesterday would have seen how utterly distraught the guy was. I mean, he was in tears, and in just as big a state as any of the Arsenal players. It's a physical game. It's a man's game. We can't outlaw tackling, surely.
I completely agree, but it's getting... And Cesc Fabregas came out after the game, and he was quite passionate. He was quite angry, and he said, you know, but there's a limit. And the limit seems to be crossed an awful lot when it comes to our kids. Arsenal, they're a bunch of kids. And the fact of the matter is that... What really annoys me is it's poor Ryan Shawcross. I admit, and I don't believe he meant to do it, but, you know, should we be feeling sympathy for Ryan Shawcross, or should we be sympathy for the guy who's sitting in hospital with his leg snapped in two?
Tom, you're neutral, because obviously you're going to get the Arsenal fans defending what happened. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe for a second there's a vendetta against Arsenal. I can't agree with Brendan there. Although, from a similar point of view, I mean, Fulham fans have always said this about the way we play the game. I mean, we're not a dirty team. We're always at the top of the Fair Play League. We rarely have men booked or sent off, not in the UEFA Cup this season, but in general. And we've said the same thing when we play teams like Bolton and Blackburn, and they have come and physically dominated us, and we have moaned about that. But I think the issue is that it's a way to play the game, and I think teams have to find a way around it. I mean, no one likes Rory Delap's long throw-ins that, you know, lead to a lot of goals, but you simply have to adjust. And some teams will play physical football, some teams will play beautiful passing football, and it's just a different way to play the game. And the best teams overcome that adversity and win things anyway.
Well, on a lighter note, we're going to take a music interlude now. We do believe that just before John Terry and Wayne Bridge came out yesterday, that John Terry allegedly sent this message to him going back to the 60s and sort of suggested that what he wanted to do. So let's have a listen to what he wanted to do, shall we? I want to hold your hand. Going back to, because it's a big talking point.
Incident live, the Arsenal supporters listening in, I, me being a neutral, I do feel sorry for the lad that actually did it. You know, I don't mean to be detrimental towards Arsenal or anything. I thought it was a cracking game and the right result. But you could see how distraught that boy was. And I really felt for him. He was crying his eyes out walking off the pitch. Equally, I felt for Aaron Ramsey. You know, I mean, that boy might not play football again.
It's a similar to, injury to Eduardo, isn't it? In as much as he's going to be out for a year. And
yeah.
The fortunate thing, I guess, is that he's young, because obviously Bones Hill a bit quicker. I mean, we don't know the latest
situation.
Well,
yeah, that's a good point, Pete. But all the same, you know, it's... Oh, you just totally feel for him, you know. And I've got to say, I'd like to see Arsenal win the league now.
The comparison.
Not because of that incident, but I would just like to see Arsenal win the league.
Ian, as a Chelsea fan, would you like to see Arsenal win the league?
Absolutely not. What I was going to say there is the Eduardo comparison's an interesting one, because the big contrast with the Eduardo injury was the reaction of the Arsenal players. After the Eduardo injury, which was against Birmingham City, all of the heads went down, nobody wanted to tackle, they didn't want to be on the football pitch anymore. This time, they pulled themselves together, they got their heads up, they went and scored two, and they won the game. And I think that does show a growing maturity amongst those Arsenal kids, inverted commas. And I think, as a Chelsea fan, my big hope is that word kids, and the running that they have. As easy on paper as it might be, I'm just hoping that the pressure gets to them and they can't finish it off. Obviously, we've got to go to Old Trafford and win, but I'm back in Carlo to get the Chelsea back together for that.
Alex, you disagree totally, and it was a good performance yesterday. I mean, Stoke, as we said earlier on, hadn't lost a game in 2010. You know, to win 3-1 there was a good performance. It puts you, as I said, 3 points behind.
Yeah, in the first half, we played into their hands. We played it long, and their centre-backs dealt with it all day. And then second half, we put it about on the floor, and they couldn't handle it. We got it out wide, up until the injury. Ramsey had a really good
goal
game
from Bentner. We've been critical of Bentner, but he's got a cracking header.
It was a really good goal. He's beat three players and headed it back across goal, and it's a really good goal. A couple of years ago, there was a game we were losing.
Mm. Joe, let's talk about the battle for fourth place. I mean, as it stands, Tottenham have gone back into that spot. Man City beating Chelsea. Liverpool won today. You know, I'm edging towards Liverpool, but, I mean, what are your feelings on that? Who do you think will be that fourth team coming in?
Well, the team that I would like to see, and the team that excites me watching them on the telly at the moment, are Spurs. I think the football's so exciting, you know, to be a Spurs season ticket holder must be an absolute joy down there. When you've got the likes of Palacios in the middle and Defoe and Crouch up front, I think it's more than nailed on that Jermaine Defoe is going to be one of the key strikers out in South Africa, along with Wayne Rooney. So for me personally, not being a Spurs fan and being a neutral, they excite me watching them on the telly. The football's Harry Redknapp's football is it's second to none at the moment.
Alex, as an Arsenal fan, would you like to see Tottenham get fourth?
Obviously not.
Why not?
Well, North London rivals. But their football today, I watched their first half, their second goal was...
So as an Arsenal fan, you do watch quite a lot of Tottenham then?
I watch all the teams, but they was on TV today, and Modric's goal was something Arsene Wenger would be proud of, if I'm honest.
Right, okay. So are you going to go for Tottenham, and do you think they will get the full spot, Joe?
I don't know whether they'll get the full spot, because, Manchester City are playing good football, and I think it's touch and go. Well, as you said, Liverpool, Man City, Villa as well. For me personally, I'd like to see Spurs get it, because the brand of football that Harry's got them playing is superb. It's a joy to watch.
Ian, we talked about the money in football and the effect it might have on Liverpool if they don't make it. I mean, they are winning games. I mean, they haven't lost a game quite a while.
Well, they scraped past Blackburn today. I reckon their fans would have been hoping for a little bit more going into that game. Home to Blackburn, who are a functional team. Sam Allardyce, you know what you're going to get. It's going to be well organised. They're going to be very physical. They're going to be difficult to break down. But Liverpool Football Club, that should be just meat and potatoes for them, shouldn't it? They should be expecting to beat that kind of team 2-3 and 4-0. The fact is, I think if you look through the squads of the four sides that are competing for fourth place, Man City have got the best squad. I would agree with Joe there that as far as the football goes, Tottenham are playing the most exciting football of those sides. But the Arsenal fans with us today will tell you that exciting football doesn't necessarily win you trophies.
It's called one dimensional, isn't it? Joe, at the foot of the table, Portsmouth look down. Burnley, I've got to say, look down. They've got 8 points from the last 48. Brian Law that's gone to Burnley. He's not done a great job there, and you can see Burnley going down.
Well, definitely on yesterday's result, Portsmouth could have won that 4-1. To be fair, the beast in goal for Burnley saved the penalty, and that could have made it. The final score could have been 3-1, 4-1.
As a QPR fan, you're looking forward to the trip down to Pompey for
staying. Yeah, well, certainly down in Chiddingfold, it's 60 miles to the coast down to Portsmouth. So that's that's basically a home game for me.
Ian, what did we make of that story down at Portsmouth? And we've been talking about it week after week. We thought it may actually go insolvent. They've gone into administration, but the question is, where's all the money gone?
It is incredible. It's supposedly 130 million. That seems to have disappeared from that club in transfer income, in gate income, in gate receipts, and in TV income. You can't lose £130 million. So has somebody had that off in their pocket? Has that been paid out to agents? Where on earth has that money gone?
It puts a question about the proper fit person test.
Well,
surely,
we've talked about this before. A fit and proper person seems to be anybody that loved their mum, doesn't it? If you've got the money and you're nice to animals.
Cheryl Cole loves her mum.
Well, she does, yeah. Not a husband, but her mum.
Yeah.
It seems to me that if you've got the money and.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to talk about it after the break. You're listening to the 90 Minute Football Show. 90 Minute Football Show here with Peter Davis. We want you. As much fan interaction as possible. You can email us 90minutefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. We are going to go back to the subject about Portsmouth because it's really fascinating what's gone on down there, and also come back to the Premiership later on. So if you are one of the fans of the Premiership, then, as I say, do email us 90minutefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. But for a brief time, we're going to talk about the Championship. We are going to talk about QPR, one of our other West London clubs, and Brentford. We're going to take a look at the top and bottom of the Championship. Tom, Newcastle at the top, now going away from West Brom.
There's 6 points between them. I think Newcastle have got that wrapped up as far as the title goes. In terms of who's going to join them, Forest obviously lost yesterday, big derby with Leicester, and in the end lost 3-0. On the strength of the squads between them, I'd say West Brom was probably still favourites to go up. They're now 2 points clear of Forest with a game in hand. So, yeah, if I was going to be putting money on it, I'd be backing Newcastle and West Brom to go up.
Well, Nottingham Forest, actually, have lost their last four away games, so their away form's not so great. And West Bromwich Albion before yesterday had only won one game in the last five games, so Newcastle were definitely the team on fire there. We know a bit about Swansea, don't we, Joe? The lowest scorers in the Championship, but Paulo Sousa has got Swansea fourth.
Yeah, but well, Paulo's obviously been handed the reins properly at, I can't remember the name of their ground now, but
it used to be called
Liberty Stadium.
Yeah. Liberty Stadium.
I remember the Vetchfield,
yeah. But the Vetchfield was a terrible place yeah. behind that prison, and yeah. Yeah, Paulo's doing a great job there, obviously. I mean, you can see it from the league position. I've watched them a few times on the telly, and they're playing good football. But as you say, they're not exactly setting the world alight with goals scored. So, you know, it just goes to show, did we make a mistake at Loftus Road?
Did we? I'm asking you the question, did we?
Well, I think possibly we did. He wasn't giving... Let's be honest here, you know, we've had a revolving door down at Loftus Road with managers, and no one has been given an opportunity to shine from Ian Dowie right the way through Paulo Sousa, Gigi Di Canio, and you know it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now I think our club's going to get a bit of stability with Mr. Patia and Lakshmi Mittal, hopefully. We can push on.
We'll talk about it in a minute whether it be Warnock or the latest rumour is that it will be Dowie. And I have said, actually, last time, I think it was last week, that if it wasn't Warnock, it would be Dowie. We've been joined by Stuart, the Brentford fan. What is your take on QPR's situation at the moment?
Well,
all in one word. I mean, you stuck by your manager. I mean, you got promoted, right? Now, I would have thought that expectations of Brentford might have been a bit better the mid-table, but there's been no question about getting rid of Andy Scott, is there?
Scotty's loved at Griffin Park. I think you've got to back your manager, although saying that we didn't do with Terry Butcher, but if you'd seen what was going on under Terry Butcher, it's pretty hard to back the man. I don't know how he's still managing, although he's done fairly well at Inverness. Scotty,
is that where he is?
Yeah, Scotty, yeah. Scotty turned the club around. It looked like we were sliding, and a lot of clubs have found it hard to get out of League Two. So Brentford fans are utterly grateful that he managed to stop the rot and then got us back so quickly. I mean, I think, I can't believe I might say this, but I think a lot of Brentford fans are quite realistic, and there's a lot of big teams in our league this year, so we're saying, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Look at the other teams that have come up, Exeter, Wickham and Gillingham. They're struggling, so
How many do you get down at Brentford?
About 6,000, a week. And then we're getting that in League 2 towards the end of the season, so... Mm. Gates are pretty steady. When we were obviously here last time, it's a relegation season, so gates were a lot lower than that 4,000 odd. Mm. But also, we've been lucky this year. Norwich, Leeds, Charlton, these are teams that are going to bring down a lot of fans, as well as our Millwall and Leyton Orient, because they're local. Whereas last year, you've got Accrington, no disrespect to these sides, Morecambe. These sides aren't probably going to bring as many. They'll probably bring a couple of hundred, whereas now you're talking filling the away stand.
Joe, are we realistic as QPR fans that we've got 13,000 that turn up at Loftus Road, and we expect, you know, because of the ownership that we've got, I mean, Crystal Palace are one place below us in the league. Probably they have a bigger fan base than us.
I would say Palace have got a bigger fan base than QPR, but on any given day, QPR can take 4,000 to Villa. We can take 9,000-10,000 to Manchester United, the same as most clubs can. So I would say Palace have a bigger fan base. I wouldn't say more loyal, because our supporters are pretty damn loyal. But it's a difficult one, Pete. The problems that QPR have won. We had 13,000 season tickets. He bumped the price, reflected on the gate.
Be a bit more contentment about the place, is that right? There's not as much worry. I mean, if Briatore was still there, there would have been a fair few protests probably last night up in Borough about the situation. There'd still be, it seems to have calmed down now that he's left. Is that a fair assumption?
I think that is a fair assumption. Would you say so, Pete?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, We'd lost at home to Scunthorpe, and then we had the against Ipswich. It was not pleasant either. But the Scunthorpe game, I remember, because we lost 1-0, and then everyone went outside and protested.
But also, what I found slightly amusing was away fans berating Mr. Briatore as well.
Yeah, sacked the ball,
didn't
it?
Off the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, football supporters, it doesn't matter who you support. You know, they understand the situation.
But the reality of it is, Joe, that we are 20th in the league. Now, whether we got Warnock, we got Dowie, you know, we've got a couple of games in the hand on Scunthorpe, but it's not easy. We've got West Bromwich Albion coming up on Saturday.
That's going to be a big, big game.
And then we've got Plymouth coming home. And Plymouth, they scored 3 away yesterday to Sheffield United.
I was worried. I was listening to the results as they were coming in. I didn't go to Middlesbrough yesterday because I made a stand and I'd had enough. I mean, my attitude might change now that Mr. Briatore stepped down. But listening to the results coming in yesterday, and Plymouth come very close to getting a fourth goal, and it's quite worrying.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I would also say, when we play West Bromwich Albion, they have scored in every game in 2010.
That's the problem, see, we can't hit the back of the net. We've got one of the worst defences in the league now.
Mm.
I think we've let in 51 goals off the top of my head. There's only two other teams that have let in more goals than Queen's Park
Rangers. But what's gotten wrong since we were fourth, one game away from going second, and now we're 20th. Last time we played Middlesbrough, we were in the playoff spot. They are now 9th, we are 20th.
The problem, I think, Pete, is that the strong rumour is player power. I think that's had an awful lot to do with it, as well as having Mr. Briatore in charge at Queen's Park Rangers. And
but sometimes what I mean is, Joe, you can get in such a rut and get so low that it takes so long to get out of it. And we haven't got that long to get out of it.
We haven't got that. Well, there's quite a few games left. What's
14.
14 games left. I mean, if you can't get out of it in 14 games, you know, but the reports that I read yesterday about the Middlesbrough game, QPR didn't play that bad.
Mm.
So it was two penalties from open play. And I'm hoping, if we finish fourth from bottom, I think, under the new administration at QPR, I think possibly in the summer, you know, something could happen. But as you've just said now, you know, apparently talks broke down with Mr. Warnock last night.
Well, I didn't say, to be fair. I mean, that's only a rumour coming out of the message board.
That's a rumour, yeah.
You know, for the record, anyone listening, I've not heard anything different to what I heard on Friday, and that was Warnock was nailed on to get the job. So something may have happened from last night to today. That's only message board rumour, and to be honest with you, message board do contain a lot of rumours.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't take that as concrete. Tom, as an outsider again, looking in, you know, you've had great success by sticking to a manager, getting to a plan from where you actually started off at a lower league and ended up in the Premiership. Who's the best man for the job at Rangers? Is it Warnock? Is it Dowie?
I think if it was me, yeah, I think looking at Warnock's record, I mean, what he's done for clubs in similar situations, I mean, his record stands up to scrutiny. He's got a proven track record with limited budgets, with getting clubs, you know, punching above their weight. All right, you know, people don't necessarily like him, but I think if he's manager of your team, then, you know, he's the man for the job. Players seem to rally around him. I think he develops a sort of almost a mentality amongst the club that everyone's against us. And looking at where you are on the table at the moment, I'd say he would be the man to pull you out of the mire.
Well, we're going to speak more about the Championship after break. We're also going to be talking Brentford. And it's quite surprising yesterday, because I woke up in West London, early morning, no rain, but it had been called off up at Griffin Park. I wonder why that is. But anyway, we're going to have a bit of Gene Kelly and Singing in the Rain and talk QPR and Brentford after this.
On FM Sport.
You're listening to the 90-minute football show. We've got a lot to pack in between now and 8:30. If you're a Chelsea fan, email us. If you're a Brentford fan, email us. QPR fans, email us. And of course, if you're the odd Fulham fan out there, then please email us. We'd be very surprised if you're making a trip back from Sunderland. That tune, Singing the Rain, was for South Coast Bees on the Griffin Park grapevine. Stuart, why was your game called off?
Well, actually passed an 8:30 pitch inspection, and then apparently referee had another pitch inspection later on, I believe at 10:30. Apparently there was a rainfall in between that time in the Brentford area.
Mm. And, which didn't hit anywhere else in West London.
Just literally on the TWA. It wasn't at my house.
No.
But yeah, and apparently, to be fair, I'm not gutted because against Wickham we weren't great, and reportedly against Walsall in the second half it was pretty poor as well. And Tranmere at the moment aren't doing too badly under Parry, so I wasn't devastated, to be honest. I don't think it's the greatest time to play Tranmere, and especially on the current form we're on. So
can you see yourself getting sucked in there? 38 points, 7 points away. I mean, Exeter are poor though, aren't they? I mean, there are a couple of really poor sides down there. I mean, Gary Waddock's gone to Wickham. He's not doing a great job down there. And, you know, Exeter, Oldham, Southend, you know, they could be in administration and then you've got a safe season.
There's a stat, sorry, just cutting, there's a stat here that says Southend have winless in the last 9 and they've lost the last 3. I mean, and the, yeah, with the state of the club is in, you know, you can see them just plunging down into League 2 there, really.
Well, the thing is,
so Brentford are safe. We can all celebrate.
No, definitely not. I mean, there's still a lot of football to play. I mean, we're just over what? Just over a third. Well, about a third of the way through the season, nearly. Well, yeah, just over a third of the way through the season. I think in our last 15 odd games, we've got to play only 5 of really the teams challenging, to be honest. So we've got games against the teams in the bottom half of the table that are in our hands. If we drop points against those teams, we will get stuck in it. I mean, if we've had 2 games off, and all of a sudden we're not too far off the bottom. Leighton Orient, as I said last week, were in the mire, and now all of a sudden they've climbed right up the table to only one place behind us. Brighton again, before Poyet got there, they were in the relegation zone. Now they're well out of it. Exeter, same, they were mid-table not too long ago, and now they're third from bottom. So, I mean,
you've got a big game next week as well.
Leeds away, yeah.
How many Beast fans will make the trip up to Helen Road, do you think?
Well, we've got 2,800 allocation.
Do they come out for the big games, or...?
Well, if you look at our... As I say, our fixture list isn't great at the end of the season. There's not a huge... Like, if we're not involved in a relegation battle when we are mid-table, there's no real draw there for a lot of the fans to go to for a big away game. So, yeah, you will get a lot of fans that maybe wouldn't normally travel every week looking... This is a good game, Leeds United. To be fair, we probably won't play Leeds again for a while after this season.
Yeah.
So... To see our team play at Elland Road, for me, it's going to be amazing because obviously I haven't really seen
great,
us play.
It's a great, great opportunity for Brentford fans to go to a terrific stadium like Elland Road.
And if we pull it off, you'd be able to say I was there when we beat Leeds United at Elland Road.
Do you still think that Norwich and Leeds are the two that go up? I'll go around the panel. Tom, do you think Norwich and Leeds are the two that go up?
I think, yeah. I mean, Leeds have got... They're still 4 points clear of Charlton. They haven't been playing well recently. Threw away another victory yesterday with a late Huddersfield equaliser. But I think the strength of their squads, those two still will be the two to go up.
Sure.
Definitely for me. Norwich look amazing, and Leeds, I think, will have more than Charlton overall.
Yeah, sure. Definitely with the two fan bases, you know, Carrow Road, they're getting 24,000 regular, and Leeds are getting close on 30,000, you know. That's going to be a big, big help for them, but, yeah, it looks pretty nailed on, Norwich and Leeds.
Does it make it, Stu, because obviously you're involved in watching Division 1 a lot, and what happens is you've got 7 teams there that are clear from the rest, and if you discount Southampton, who are on a good run, and maybe even they believe they might even get into a playoff position, does that make the league stronger, in your opinion, or do you think it's weaker?
Well... First of all, I think Southampton definitely, they're my dark horse. I'm backing them for the playoffs. I know it looks like a long shot, but...
Still 17 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think, well, they've still got 15 games to go and they're on absolute fire now. They've got 2 of the best strikers in the league. So for me, I think they can nick into the playoffs. Is the league stronger? It does appear to be two divisions in one division.
Mm.
I'm not sure if it makes it stronger, but... It does make it very interesting because there's not, as I say, we're mid-table, but you wouldn't write off our season yet. So it does mean for us it's an exciting season because although we're not challenging, we are still potentially involved in a relegation battle.
And Joe, the Championship is completely different from Div 1 in as much that every team is pretty close together. I'll ask you the same question. Does that mean the Championship's strong or does it mean it's weaker?
I don't know. The Championship is... It's a tough, tough league to get out of. And from my point of view, I'm really worried for Queen's Park Rangers. The question that you asked me, Pete, the teams at the top have the biggest support again. They have the most finances. And to me, it looks pretty nailed on that the ones at the top are going to be battling for first, second and third. It looks like Newcastle. At the moment, they've got a big game at the end of the season. We could mess them up. But
it's typical QPR though. The past three or four seasons, we're playing teams that are either getting in playoffs or going up.
The problem is, Pete, I see so many teams coming to Loftus Road last game of the season who are champions already and doing the jiggy dance, and it annoys me. I want to see us do it.
What's Brentford's last game of the season, Stu? Do you remember?
I'm not too sure.
Tom, last game, Fulham?
It's Arsenal away.
They could be celebrating the...
They could be,
I mean, that's the point, though, isn't it? I mean, from a QPR fan, you know, the season, to me, is over. Unfortunately, it's not over, actually, because we're going to be fighting relegation. From your point of view, Stuart, being mid-table, I know you discussed the point of being sucked in, but realistically, you...
...from the board's the game in hand, because... Then, well...
Stu, how many games you've had called off at...
Is a mire, but we've got Chelsea reserves playing at our ground as well, which isn't helping things whatsoever, to be honest. But in the past, we've had...
Typical Chelsea, though, isn't it? To go to a lower league club and play their reserves on it. And it could be the reason why your game's being called off.
Well, it's no doubt slightly influential that... But some of their games are being moved from our ground at the same time because of the state of the pitch, and they can't be played there, and also because of some FA Cup games. But in the past, we've had rugby league teams like London Broncos sharing a ground with us. Mm. And I think this year, everyone's saying it's a bit different because of course, what they're calling the big freeze over Christmas and New Year. But ultimately, you'd have hoped we're the only club in really the football league pretty much to have a game called off yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's
But the same happened to QPR when we were scheduled to play Watford at home and also earlier in the season, Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, it rained in the afternoon, but our pitch is slightly different to Brentford in as much that it's like a carpet, but any saturated rain and the game gets called off.
Well, I understand that the British Olympic squad have decided to use it for a swimming pool for the Olympics in 2012. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous over the Ellerslie roadside. It is like a swimming pool. And was it this season that we spent £250,000 on new drainage and I mean, what's happened there? Is someone going down with...
We've always had problems with the pipes, though, haven't we? Well, have you had problems with your pipes?
Well, I haven't, but I can remember back in the 70s as a kid going down to Rangers. Very good, Pete.
Yeah.
And
the drainage system's always been bad, though.
It's always been bad, but apparently from what I understand was, I mean, it's totally irrelevant to football, but when they built the White City Tube Station, a lot of the clay was actually dumped at Loftus Road, and that's for real, but I mean, that's neither here nor there.
But Stuart...
So the saturation doesn't drain away. It goes into the soil, and then I think it sort of bubbles back up, like, you know.
That's a great description of, you know.
Yeah.
But Stu, you woke up yesterday morning. You must have expected the game to be on.
Yeah. Well, there was I was informed about the pitch inspection the night before. But yeah, my dad was leaving the house, and he said, "Hang on, I better check just in case." And he completely missed it. So yeah.
How many Tranmere fans would have made the trip down?
I heard it was something like 40 to 50 had already got to the Brentford area.
Yeah.
And surrounding areas had come to
London. So if you were in Brentford yesterday morning having your breakfast, you would have been sort of looking out for
It's okay for the Brentford. And obviously there's Brentford fans that have travelled from different parts of the country to go to Griffin Park as well. You have to remember them.
Probably Hammersmith.
And, And I just think these games, you know, football clubs and the Football League owe an awful lot to football supporters, and they should be told in advance. If Brentford were playing Rangers or Watford or even Wickham, then an 11 o'clock pitch inspection's fine. But when it comes to playing a team that's come from the Liverpool area, that's very, very wrong. And you have to think of those people.
Tom, what's the state of the pitch down at Craven Cottage? Because you're right by the River Thames.
Yeah, we are by the river. The pitch is actually very good for them. There's one issue which I was thinking about just now, actually. We are the only team in the Premiership, along with Portsmouth, not to have undersaw heating. Mm. And that cost us a game last year. Our game against Blackburn was called off at short notice. I think about 1 o'clock I found out it was called off. And I find it staggering that a team in the Premiership doesn't have undersaw heating. I mean, we haven't invested in it yet. I'm not sure we are. The game earlier in the year against Portsmouth that was called off, we had sort of a giant blanket laid over the pitch, and they were blowing hot air through the heaters to keep it, you know, to keep it ready for the match. But for me, I mean, the pitch itself is always fine. I mean, we don't have a problem with the wet or the mud. But
can get windy down there, though.
It does get windy if you're on the riverside, on the riverside stand. But yeah, when it gets to the snow and the big freeze that we get, I always worry that we're going to get games called off until we get undersoil heating.
Well, we are almost coming to the end of the first hour. It's a 90-minute football show. We want to hear from as many fans as possible. You can email us, 90minutefootballshow at onfmradio.co.uk. All the fans here are staying till the very end. We want emails from Brentford fans, QPR fans, Chelsea fans and Fulham fans. And we'll also discuss Arsenal. We'll be discussing the situation down at Portsmouth. Money in football. Also may even touch on stewards as well. There's obviously in the news at the moment. We was at Loftus Road last week with a streak around the pitch there, Joe, with the red pants. We won't go into that right this minute, but obviously West Brom Reading in the week.
It wasn't me.
OK. You're tuned in to the 90-minute football show back after this. It's 90-minute football show you're listening to. As I said before the break, we want to hear from all the 90-minute...
I mean, I suppose 2-1 isn't a bad result. Looking at it overall.
He's playing a psychological game, though, Mourinho.
Mourinho. I mean, we know. We've seen one or two of his teams before, haven't we? And they're very, very capable of a 0-0 or a 1-0 if they need to grind one out. Saturday morning, I woke up still quite happy that 2-1 wasn't a bad result. But I'll tell you what, if they get...
Can John Terry grind one out? And what I mean by that, can he put in a good performance?
Well, he needs to... this is the first thing, is Ancelotti needs to give him a good shaking.
Yeah.
Because
you need...
John Terry needs to be playing well. If Mikel's going to play... Then he needs to up his game. Hilario or Turnbull in goal, obviously, is a big worry.
Yeah.
We're missing Cole.
Because at the moment, John Terry is looking a bit stiff there at the back. Because what you've got... No, but seriously, he's not mobile. He's getting past, and that would be the worry.
Well, positionally, he's always been very good, apparently. But yeah, I mean, every game since the Burnley game, he seems to have been caught out at some point or other. On top of that, we're...
But this is up a level. What I'm saying is, against Man City, it's okay. Well, it's not okay to get beat, but against Inter Milan, he's going to really put the defence there, isn't he? 11 men, 10 men behind the ball, and they might go for the break.
I mean, you're saying 10 men behind the ball. I think they're capable of better than that.
Mm.
And I think Mourinho right now will be pointing at what's going on at Chelsea and whipping the players right up. You know he's capable of generating a siege mentality. He will do it with Inter.
Do you play one up front in Drogba, or do you play an Elka up there with him?
I would be inclined to start with two up top. When Drogba's on his own up there, if he's not sort of bullying the defenders, and he struggled to do that against Inter, he struggled to really sort of get one over on Lucio. If he's on his own up top, he can get isolated. Anelka just tends to drift in and out of the game. He's always seems to be popping up wide, which isn't really where Anelka's going to sting. Inter. That said, I don't see that there's going to be a lot of room in the middle. With the diamond that we've been playing in midfield, we haven't got any width, particularly missing Cole and Bisingwa. Your two fullbacks are likely to be Ivanovic on the one side, who's a very good defender, but he's not a world class fullback. He isn't going to go hairing up a wing and sticking a cross behind the last defender. On the other side, at the moment, we've got Malouda, who simply isn't a fullback. Malouda, I thought, was one of the sort of bright spots in the Chelsea team this season. I think he's been having a pretty good season, but with the defensive role that he's got in the absence of Cole and Zhirkov, I think we lose something. I would rather see Ferreira in that position. Obviously, we can't play Ferreira there in the Champions League because we haven't registered him.
OK, let me ask the neutral. Stuart, I mean, obviously I'm going to come to Joe in a minute because we've got an Arsenal fan, Fulham fan, Chelsea fan here, all involved in Europe. Do you think that Chelsea will get past Inter Milan, first of all? Do you think they've got a chance of winning the European Cup?
They've got a chance, definitely. I think a lot of it will hinge on Lucio versus Drogba again. I think Lucio came out on top in the week, and I think, again, that's going to be the big match-up. If Drogba can come out on top this time, and if people like Joe Cole and Anelka can get close enough to him, and as we said just now, don't isolate him, then definitely Chelsea can do it, most definitely.
Well, Joey Cole doesn't actually seem to be in Ancelotti's sort of number one side. At the moment, he seems to favour Kalou over Joe Cole, which I find pretty incredible. I think Joey Cole is probably our most creative player.
But he pulled him off after an hour yesterday, didn't he?
Well, that's it. This is it. We needed to score goals, and yet Cole gets dragged off. I don't think Ancelotti rates him quite as highly as most Chelsea fans.
Do you think he'll be off in the summer?
I hope not. I sincerely hope not. I mean, as we've been saying, we're an old squad. We don't want to lose one of our younger players.
Tom, great result for Fulham in the week. Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah, I mean, what a great week to be a Fulham fan, especially with Chelsea's problems as well. Yeah, I watched that game. It was a horrible game to watch. We all knew what would happen. I said last week the way that Shakhtar played at Craven Cottage.
How many shots did you have on target then?
I think we had one shot on target in the whole game, possibly two. The goal that we scored was the first time really we'd ventured into the Shakhtar half. I think the final corner count was 17 corners to none. But to be honest, I mean, they didn't actually have that many clear-cut chances. They had a couple. I think Jadson missed the chance for them. I think one of their other players, I can't remember who, put a good chance wide. But in general, basically, it was an outstanding defensive performance from Fulham. We closed down when we needed to. We kept our shape at all times. We gave Shakhtar, as we expected, would have most of the possession, and they did. But Hodgson very cleverly made sure we defended narrowly and forced their players out to the wings with the ball and then forced them to cut inside. When they put crosses into the box, they are a small team, Shakhtar. Hangan and Hughes comfortably dealt with them. For the majority of their corners that they had, they took short corners and didn't really penetrate through the Fulham defence. If one player got past one player, there was always another Fulham player there. And, yeah, what a brilliant week to be
a
Fulham
fan. And now you've got a great trip to Juve or Turin. And
that's right.
You've got your bags ready?
Yeah,
packed?
Got my bags ready, got my flights booked.
You get your voice back in time?
How much that costing you, just for a moment?
£120 for the flight. I think we're looking at, I'm going to be out there actually for 4 or 5 days, so we're looking at...
Did you make the most of it?
Yeah, I mean, we've already been to Rome this year for one game in Italy. I'm hoping obviously for a better result this time, although a 2-1 defeat in the away leg would be a good result. There is a worry amongst the Fulham fans actually at the moment with the number of tickets that we might be allocated, with the amount of people that seem to be making this trip already. There is a fear that there may not be enough tickets on offer. This is a worry on the Fulham message.
I'll ask you as a Fulham fan, are they genuine fans that are going out to Turin, or is it, look, this is the big game, you know, corporate supporters to a degree, are they thinking, right, it's a day out in Turin, or is it genuine fans that are making the trip out
there? I think it's genuine fans. I mean, as I said, I went to Rome. It was probably the best Fulham atmosphere I've ever been at for an away game. There was 2,000 Fulham fans there, didn't stop singing throughout the game. There were some people there you might consider not to be true diehard fans. There are a few like older couples just seemingly there, you know, just to take in the atmosphere and maybe not necessarily there. It wasn't all about the game, but I think the majority of fans that are out there are what you call proper fans. Yeah.
You got the game, Alex. Bring you in Arsenal against Porto a week. When is it?
Wires to Chelsea, and that we've got to be careful not to be caught on the break. We will and leave gaps at the back, and hopefully, I'm not sure if Gallas will.
You? Well, saying that, if you win the Premiership, then surely, you know, you've got a good chance. And Liverpool won the European Cup without being actual Premiership winners. Do you think, as an Arsenal fan, it's more realistic that you'll win the Premiership than the Champions League then?
Yeah, strange enough, I actually think we do. I wouldn't have said that 2-3 months ago. But yeah, with our games that we've got in the league. Saying that, I don't know, it's weird because Arsenal can beat anyone on their day.
Is this bit, I mean, your sort of lack of confidence with the European Cup there, is that because perhaps the method of football played at Arsenal perhaps doesn't lend itself to European competition quite as well as it does to the Premier League?
Yeah, perhaps. My only worry would be defensively. Going forward, I think we're fine. We can score goals. We can score 3-4 in a game. It's just defensively, if we can't shut a team out.
I've got to agree completely with you there, Alex, because I actually can't see Arsenal coming away with a clean sheet, even at home against Porto. So I've got a funny feeling Arsenal are going to have to score 3 in that game. I think they're more than capable of getting 3. But I think you're right, as regards to the defence, I can't see Porto not scoring.
No, it's going to be quite interesting to see. Anyway, we're going to have a music interlude, and we do hope, to a certain degree, that John Terry and Chelsea come away with a clean sheet. But anyway, there's a bit of Satisfaction and Rolling Stones.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Listen to the 90-minute football show. In the last segment, got to try and pack in as much as we can. First question, got a few questions actually via email. First one for you, Ian. Do you fear that which team, Manchester United or Arsenal, is more likely to win the Premiership? Or to challenge Chelsea? Which one of them two come the final game?
Much has been made of Arsenal's running, and on paper it does look like it's perfectly possible now that they could win it. For me, if you beat Man United, you expect to win the Premier League. I've got a sneaking feeling that while on paper that run-in looks easy, the bit of an experience amongst the youth.
So Manchester United are the
Man United for me are the threat.
Okay, Joe, question from you. This is from LU Block. Who would you prefer in our current position, Ian Dowie or Neil Warnock?
I think most of us don't really like Neil Warnock, but I think I'd have to go for him. He's very animated. He's a character. He can motivate players. He's definitely a motivator, and that's what we need down at Loftus Road. So I wouldn't say I dislike the man. I don't like him when his teams play against Queen's Park Rangers for obvious reasons. But I think I would go for Neil Warnock. If it was down to me, yes.
Another question is, we've got 5 games to go. Oh, sorry, we've got 14 games. We need to win 5 of them. Can you see us winning 5?
If you'd have asked me that question a fortnight ago, I would have said no. But now I think there's certainly a new optimism down at Loftus Road amongst the Hoops fan base. And I think we will get out of it. I've really got everything crossed for that. I think we will just about manage to get out of it. I don't think it's going to be pretty, though.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing is that, you know, Briatore is still not... He's gone. So, you know, from now, there's no real excuse, is there?
Well, I mean, along with yourself and Mayu, you know, I've met Amit. I can only describe him as a gentleman. I've not met his father-in-law, but obviously, you know, he's got an awful lot of finance. And I don't expect... base expects, you know, a bottomless pit of money, but to see as many Rangers fans come down to Loftus Road, I mean, I am chucking out an advert, and we
stick on that QPR West Bromwich Albion game for next week. West Bromwich Albion are battling for promotion. We went there and they equalised in the last minute, so we've got nothing to be worried about. I mean, that was the only game that Gallen and Bertram were in charge for, but something tells me this game's going to be tougher than that game.
Yeah, it is, and I think it really does depend on the first 15 minutes at Loftus Road. I think if West Brom get an early goal, it could be curtains for us. You know, I don't know whether
we've
got...
But why are we so low on confidence when we've got, you know, pretty much the same team as we did have earlier in the season?
There's too many changes, Pete. We've never got the same back four. We keepers come, keepers go, you know. But a big deciding factor for me was we let Camp go, we let Blackstock go, we've let Routledge go. You know, we've let Mr. Motivator, Gareth Ainsworth, he's gone.
You know, brought no one in, really.
And no one's come in. We are Queen's Park Lone Rangers. And lone players will do what they can. I'm not going to be detrimental to any of them. They'll do what they can. But at the end of the day, if we go down, they're going to go back to whoever they've come from. And that's the be-all and end-all. There's no stability within our football club, and it's a terrible thing to see. You know,
do you think things will change in the summer now that Amit's there?
Yeah, I seriously do, and I hope we'll be a Championship side. I really do. I don't want Rangers to drop down one league, but if we do...
It's now and our luck that Warnock will leave Palace will survive, and that we'll get relegated.
Well, at the moment, if you look on paper, Palace have had, was it 10-point deduction?
Yep.
I think they're up. Their players are more up for the fight than the QPR players are.
Mm.
And that is a very, very worrying thing for us.
I mean, they've had no win in the last 6 games, Palace, so they're not on fire. So
they fought hard yesterday and got a 1-1 draw.
Absolutely.
You know, a place where we lost.
OK, well, that's QPR West Bromwich Albion covered. Next Saturday, quarter-finals of the FA Cup, Fulham, Tom. Home to Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, the big games for us just keep on coming. We're one game away from Wembley. It would be fantastic as a Fulham fan to go to Wembley. Obviously, I'm not old enough to remember the... well, I wasn't even born when we last reached Wembley in the 70s.
I remember that. It was going to West Ham.
That's right, yeah. It was 2-0 to Stock. Yeah, 2-0 to West Ham. So, hoping for a better result this time. But, yeah, I mean, we're playing Spurs, obviously, are on quite good form at the moment. We did... get a 0-0 draw with them on Boxing Day at home, a game we should have won. It was thanks to Gomez that we didn't. I'm optimistic. I'm going to say that we're going to win that 2-1.
And who would you like in the semis?
Not Chelsea. I'm hoping for a Chelsea-Fulham final where we banish all the ghosts and beat them.
Well, Arsenal next week have got a league game. It's probably a blessing in disguise about the FA Cup. They've got Burnley at home. Surely that's a 3 points guaranteed.
I would have thought so, given their form and especially their away form. I can't see anything other than a home win. I'll go 3-1 with us conceding a silly goal, probably.
Really? I'm going 4-5. I think Burnley are poor, and I really do think that Burnley and Portsmouth are out this league. It's more questionable who goes with them, but, you know, Owen Coy done a great job at Burnley. I'd be very surprised if Arsenal don't score 4-5. And then next week, the big game for the Bees up at Elland Road. Looking forward to it. And do you think you're going to get anything out of the game?
Very much so. I mean, I think possibly these postponements could be a blessing for us. We weren't playing well leading up to them. If we were playing well leading up to them, I'd be distraught that it stopped a little run, but maybe it will help us. Leeds obviously have had a bit of a wobbler this year, calendar year, sorry, and I don't see why
not. Good time to play them as well.
Yeah, fantastic time. I mean, we drew to them not so long ago, just around Christmas time, 0-0 at our place, and we had chances. There's no reason why we can't. I think 1-0, Leon Legg will nick it.
Chelsea, like it. He's a confident fella, isn't he? Chelsea next week against Stoke, and if the game had been at the Britannia Stadium, it would have been some game. But next week, you'd fancy your chances.
Well, you say that. First of all, Tom surprised me there by not wanting a Stoke Fulham final. That is the first thing I'd say.
Only if we win do I want the Chelsea final.
Again, defensively, I have misgivings. No Cech, no Bisingwa, no Cole. Terry's head not right. Mikel in front of that back four. You might as well have me in front of that back four the way he's playing at the moment. He needs to improve. He needs to improve quicker than he has been over the past couple of seasons. We know what they're going to do. We know how they're going to play. It's going to be set pieces around the box and long throw-ins from Rory Delap. And I think they are going to bully our defence. I hope we'll have enough to see them off, but I don't see a big Chelsea win. If we beat them, I think it'll be 2-1.
Right, well, that's the FA Cup cover for next week. I just want to touch on a couple of brief subjects. We're running out of time. Stewarding. You know, I saw an incident this week at West Bromwich Albion Reading. We've seen a situation where a guy with red underpants, this guy could be banned for life, by the way, Joe. This guy that ran on the pitch last week could have a criminal record. But surely the stewards shouldn't allow someone to get to the halfway line.
They shouldn't allow someone to get on the pitch. But in actual fact, when you look at it, and the guy didn't actually do any harm. I mean, he did moon the stewards, and it was funny. Everybody laughed at it. It was the thing that I didn't like was the way the stewards manhandled the lad once they'd caught.
Well, one was sticking his leg up in there.
Well, I watched it this morning with my nephew, and one of the stewards actually kicked him in the back. There were several stewards that manhandled that chap off the pitch, and it was totally wrong. And if we move away from that, Pete, to the incident at the Hawthorns on, I think it was Wednesday night, when the stewards prevented the Reading players from celebrating in front of the Reading support. Totally, totally out of order. I mean, you go and support your team, and if your team is lucky enough to win at an away ground, you know, there's nothing better than your players coming up and celebrating, and maybe a couple of players taking their shirts off and throwing them at the fans and everything. And the stewarding was way over the top. I could not understand it. There was no intimidation towards the West Brom fans, and the Reading players were prevented from celebrating in front of their own fans. Totally wrong in my book.
Tom, what are the situation about stewards down at Fulham?
The Fulham fans do not like the stewards at Fulham. We have issues with a number of...
Are they gold rain? Sorry to put a flag on there. But
we've got a number of issues. I mean, we often have away fans in the home end, especially in the Hammersmith end, even at the back of the Hammersmith end, where sort of the hardcore Fulham fans stand up. We always seem to have problems being told to constantly sit down by the stewards. The away fans, we can all see them standing up throughout the whole game. Yeah, the Fulham fans themselves don't like the Fulham stewards.
Stu, what is it like down at Brentford? Are you allowed to stand up? Do the stewards come down and tell
We've
you to sit down?
Terracing. I've sat on terracing.
Oh, you're okay then, aren't you? you're back in the dark ages, which is great. But do you have problems with stewarding down there?
Actually, funnily enough, there has been a few issues recently. A lot of it's to do with in the paddock area and the Braemar Road stand. A big terrace, it's hard to spot individual characters, whereas the home fans are in a seating area where it's apparent there's been a few issues where individuals have said stuff and they've just been caught. Nothing really more than another supporter's done, and both going to and fro, and individuals are being picked out and scored out of the ground for probably a bit of heavy-handedness of the stewards' part. Mm. And I mean, I'm not sure if it's a case of are these stewards employed by Brentford, or are these agencies stewards who have been told by their agencies this is how you deal with it?
Well, funnily enough, Stu, a friend of mine does this. He is a steward.
He manhandles supporters.
I'm not sure if he goes that far, but yes, he works as a steward. To be honest with you, the only reason he works as a steward is because he went along and volunteered, and he's a big lad. He's had absolutely no training whatsoever. He gets absolutely no instruction whatsoever. Mm. And yet these people, as we've just been talking about at both Reading, at West Brom and at QPR, they seem to believe that they're the police force, and they're not.
What's the situation down like at Stamford Bridge in terms of standing up? Because I see so many Premiership games where fans are standing up. I mean, it probably doesn't happen at Chelsea, but it does happen.
Yes, it does. And you can understand it totally. Whenever there's a bit of goal mouth action, everybody stands up. Even when you're chanting. Even when you're chanting and singing your team's songs, it's not easy to do that sitting down.
No.
You want to stand up and you want to put your shoulders back and your head up and you want to sing out. And immediately you do that, there seems to be a problem.
The amount of away games that I've been to and stewards are telling you to sit down, and as you say, you see the opposing team fans standing up. It happens at Wolves, it happened at Birmingham City. Yeah. You know, it happens all over the place. And sometimes they do that to quiet you down, even if they think you're getting behind the team. And I make this point very, very briefly. Sometimes the people that work for these people are actually supporters, and it's a good way of them to get in to watch their team play. Do you not agree?
To a certain extent, yes, it is a good way, and obviously you get in for nothing if you're working for the football club. But making a point on stewards, just before Christmas when we went up to Newcastle, we stood, I think there was just over 2,000 Rangers fans up at Newcastle, and we stood the whole game. There was no problems with the stewards or the police up at Newcastle.
Well, no doubt we'll come back to this subject later next week. Thanks very much indeed. It's time's come upon us to finish. You've been listening to the 90-minute football show on FM Radio.
London is on 101.4 on FM.
Great offers, excellent quality, fantastic service, no customers. Well, do they know? Call 0845 202 0063.
101.4 on FM. The London Lunch Break, 101.4 on FM.
A double D or E cup is considered the optimum bust size. Do you agree, gentlemen?
On FM.
I do know that I can create a perfect hourglass figure myself by simply scoffing quite a lot and wearing a really tight belt.
Tuck in to the London Lunch Break.
Join me, Jules Barnes, on the London Lunch Break every weekday from 12, right here at London's 101.4 on FM.
On FM.
Done. No research needed. You still with me?
With the economy stuck in the slow lane, I asked David Melivao of Autoglass, the windscreen repair and replacement company, if radio